You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
We're sort of carrying on this living theme, or this living faith theme. And this morning, I've entitled it Love One Another. We started by looking at investing in our personal living faith, looking at God's design for flourishing. And then Nick helped us to get an idea about us positioning ourselves to be open to the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit. Last week, Rick encouraged us to press into the spiritual disciplines, prayer, Bible reading, worship, solitude, getting part of the big story. And now we move on to another little theme, another bit of our theme, and that is that we are encouraging a living faith in the context of community. That's our sort of message these next couple of weeks. I've entitled today Loving One Another from John 13:34, and then we'll conclude in the run-up to Easter by living faith in the world. That's what we're looking at these next couple of weeks. And when I look at the world, at our nation, even Farnham, how it is parched for a spiritual renewal and blessing, isn't it? As we just listen to the news, how we need a blessing of God, how we need spiritual renewal, a new spiritual awakening. As I look at many bits of the church, to be honest, I pray, Lord, come with spiritual renewal. How we need Jesus' kingdom of light and love to advance, don't we? Feels like the kingdom of darkness is advancing in lots of different ways. And yet how we need to be praying that the kingdom of light and love will advance. And that's why we've got this thing, connecting people this year. And I've just been praying for us as a church, praying for all of you, for five spiritual renewals, just to kick us off this morning. I've been praying for personal renewal for us all, that we would have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, a fresh passion for the practices, as Rick was saying last night, of our faith, along with a restoration of our vision for all that the church can be. And I've been praying for us all as we've come out of this pandemic that we would have a fresh personal renewal. In Revelation 2, chapter 4, I was reading it this week, it's sobering. Jesus talks to the Ephesians church, Ephesus church, and commends them for many things, for their hard work, all sorts of things. But he also said, but you've lost your first love. Do you know that verse? Wow. Crumbs. Their love for Jesus had got stale, had become routine. And that's not how Jesus wants it. And some of us have got stale faith at the moment. And that's not how Jesus wants it. He wants to come with blessing upon us and that we find a personal renewal in these days to come. Everyone has spiritual lows, goes through spiritual dry times. I do. It's really hard when you're a pastor. But we do. Everyone does. It's part of our journey. We can be faithful in them. But do you know what? It's a prayer that all of us, that we would fall in love with Jesus again. When I'm stale spiritually, I want to just come back to Jesus. Know that first love again. And there now, it's not about religion and rituals then. It's about a relationship with Jesus. That's really what it ends up as. And any relationship needs to be nurtured, doesn't it? Hayley and I need to nurture our marriage. Now, when we were first fell in love, you know, I couldn't stop thinking about her. She just was, you know, I did some wild things. I'm watching my lads do wild things. They fall in love now. I think, oh, crumbs. Remember speaking to Joe the other day, he reckoned he drove halfway around the world visiting Phoebe as he was courting her because they live so far away from each other. In the first moments, it can be wonderful, can't it? But do you know what? We need to keep nurturing it, don't we? We need to keep that flame alive, keep tending for our relationships. And it's the same with the Lord. As we come to Jesus, we need to just keep that flame alive, as it were. But the joy is the Holy Spirit comes on us, as Nick said, and helps us see that Jesus doesn't just love us, he really likes us too. And I know some of you like can accept Jesus loves you, but really I'm not sure that he likes you. But do you know what? He likes you as well. He wants to hang out with you. And so that's what I'm praying for, personal renewal. That's the first thing. Second thing I'm praying for is a relational renewal, to use that phrase. After we get right with God, we've got to get right with other people. Jesus told us that, didn't he? He said this, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your mind, and love others as you love yourself. We have it on the stage in Mark's version every week. When we know Jesus loves us, it compels us to love other people. That's the bottom line. And if our love for others has gone dull, we need relational renewal. And so I'm praying for relational renewal. One of my favorite writers, Dallas Willard, says this, the natural condition of human life, I'll put it up there, is for human beings, reciprocal rootedness in others. I love that phrase. A reciprocal rootedness in others. That's what life is all about. And when a church gets relational renewal, there's less falling out, less isolation, less loneliness. Gossip goes down and joy goes up. Don't you want to be part of that sort of church? Loyalty and love blossom. I'll tell you what, it's really not cool to be in a church where the opposite is the case. People arrive earlier for church, hang out longer at the end of the service, book up for church lunches, join small groups, meet each other for coffee or walk or breakfast. You see, relational renewal begins to connect people. People connect together. And church becomes more than just content that we consume. It becomes a community that we become part of. And that's what a living faith is. I'll come back to that. Dallas Willard also says this, God's aim in human history is the creation of an inclusive community of loving persons with himself as its primary sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. Isn't that the quote of the week? I just love that quote. It sums it up. So I'm praying for personal renewal. I'm praying for relational renewal. I'm praying for a missional renewal as well. That's the third renewal. When the church discovers what God wants it to do. We have a kingdom assignment, Jubilee. We're not just here to be blessed and not here just to bless and love one another. God wants us to bless and love the world around us. You see a connection with war? See, in Jubilee, we focus on five things. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, evangelism. We call it glorifying, gathering, growing, giving, and going. That's our five G's. And there's a missional renewal happening amongst us. There's a new ways of working those areas out in these years to come. And when we experience personal, relational, missional renewal, you know what? We can't help but grow, and then another renewal happens, and that's a structural renewal. And we're going to have that as well. A church that goes through the first renewals will need to change. The structures for a church of 100 don't work for a church of 250 or 500. As we grow and change and adapt, new structures are needed. We need to put new wine in new wineskins, not old wineskins. And that means in this next season, there's going to be new leaders, new ministries, new buildings, even, I think, new ways of reaching out. And all this leads to a fifth renewal, which I'm praying for, which is a cultural renewal in our land. That as we pray for personal, relational, missional, structural renewals in the church, I believe that the culture around us will be renewed as well. People will be reconciled to God, more content with themselves, with their lives, and be able to love each other better. See a connection with war? Loving God, loving others as we love ourselves, I believe God wants to supercharge, super empower, and do a wonderful work amongst us in this next season. And Jesus' kingdom of peace and love and forgiveness and joy and fulfillment will break into the world, life upon life upon life upon life upon life, changing the very essence of our families, our neighborhoods, our town, our land. Do you know what? Even the world. So today, we're saying about you can't have a living faith, I don't think, outside of community. You can't actually have a living, vibrant faith outside of relationship. We love God, that's relationship. We love others, that's relationship. We love life, ultimately, that's relationship as well, isn't it? So that's the message that we're looking at. And good and godly relationships are so important to the church. It's why our verse this week is so important. You had it pinged on your phones if you haven't cancelled your communication preferences and disabled me from doing it. Otherwise, I'd quite like to click the thing that says ignore. But anyway, I didn't. So it's only the people who've got their communication preferences set to receive SMSs have got this. But for the rest of you, there's one down here that you can have breaking bread. But let's read it together, can we? Once again. I urge you. This is a powerful, powerful message to have on your fridge, to read every day, to meditate on, think about, pray into, apply. And the writer is making a point, isn't he? We need to live a life worthy of the calling that God has on us. And he's making a point to be one, isn't it? And he also says that we need to make every effort to be one. That is the message that he's bringing. Make every effort. Be diligent, some versions have. Be careful. Do your best. That's why this week, this verse that Chelsea read out is so important for us. And why it talks about our hearts. We're quick to judge about wars, but our hearts are important too. See, I'm utterly convinced that unity is our greatest witness to those who don't know Jesus. Jesus' last prayer before he went to the cross was that the church would live in unity. It says this, the goal is for them to become one heart and one mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus ties people coming to Christ with his followers' unity. Scary. He said other people would believe in him if they saw Christians loving each other and living out unity. We're to be a model for Putin. He said wonderful things about us being in unity. See, Jesus' vision was and goal was that everybody who claimed him as their savior would be unified, would be one. It's why I'm passionate about the Love in Action this afternoon. It's a little prayer meeting, but do you know what? If God's people come together to pray, wonderful things happen. It's why I'm so proud of Andy as he runs FCCT, the schools work team. Nikki is involved with Food Bank. all the stuff that Rose did with Food Bank. I mean, there's things happening in the town where people have come together. I think there's a youth night, isn't there, where Vassar is, and I think this working with Vineyard this week, isn't it? Thursday. I love it that in Farnham people come together, because do you know what? Wonderful things happen when people come together. That's why I'd love to force all of you to be at the prayer meeting. But I recognise other things are important as well. I'll leave it there. Because the next bit of Jesus' prayer says this: God gives us glory so that we can be unified. He says this, that's not what we're going to do. It's back there. Oh, I haven't got it. Oh, well. I've given them the glory, it says this, that you gave me. I've given them the glory that they may be one as I am one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, and then the world would know that you sent me and have loved them, even though you love me. See, the purpose of God's presence in your life is actually to make you more loving. It's not to give you some gifts and, you know, it's to make you more loving. Not harsher, not more opinionated, not more stubborn, but more loving. That's what the presence of God is for. That is what it's for. Do you know, do you want God's glory in your life? We do, don't we? Do we want God's power in our life? We do, don't we? Do we want to feel God's presence in our life? Well, Jesus says he gives his glory, his power, to those who are willing to lay aside secondary differences with others and love and be in unity. He wants us to lay aside the things that don't really matter so that we can live in unity with other believers. And I believe the world will know that God is good as a result of that. See, our unity as God's family, the church, is our greatest witness to unbelievers. And more than ever in this war-torn world, this divided society that we live in, this tribalized world, people need to see that unity is possible. And you know what? It should be found in the church as an example to the world. But it's all right, because it's like the church out there. It's nothing to do with me or you. That bit wasn't true. Because the church is you and me, isn't it? It's our responsibility to lay down our pride and our preferences so that we can focus on God's purposes. See, our love for one another will show the world that we belong to Jesus and be a testimony of the power of Christ to transform lives. Rick Warren says this: unity in the church is so important that the New Testament gives more attention to it than to either heaven or hell. God deeply desires that we experience oneness and harmony with one another. Unity is the soul of fellowship. Destroy it and you rip the heart out of Christ's body. Whew. In its essence, the core of how God intends us to be, to experience life together in his church, our supreme model for unity is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, completely unified as one. God himself is the highest example of sacrificial love, humbled other-centeredness, and perfect harmony. Wow. I'm going to put that on the update because I think it's so good. See, for 20 years, I've prized good and godly relationships in Jubilee. Sometimes it's like at odds with some of our other values. Like, we don't want perfect people in Jubilee. We encourage perfect people to go to other churches and bless them. We often say that with a twinkle in our eye because we recognize that we are work in progress and not perfect. Don't we? But when we're born again, we're justified. We're made right with God. But we still need to be sanctified, don't we? We need to become more and more righteous in our thoughts and words and deeds. And sanctification is a process. It can be accelerated. as we are in community together, as we give each other permission to speak into our lives. When I'm challenged by Rick or Nathan or Haley or my boys, or that's what causes me to see things sometimes I need to grow in, I need to develop. It's in community that we have our rough edges knocked off. It reveals things in our souls. That's why we have a living faith in community. Our title verse was one of the one another's. And I was looking up in we used to run Introducing Church Life rather than a Sunday during a sermon. We used to run it over 8 weeks. And we had a whole week on good and godly relationships. And we went through all of the one another statements. I'm going to put these on update as well, because there's so many in the scriptures. You see, loving others isn't just a little phrase. It is a really practical thing. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, Romans 12. Be of the same mind towards one another, Romans 12. Accept one another, Romans 15. Through love, serve one another, Galatians 5. Bear one another's burden, Galatians 6. Be patient with one another, Ephesians 4. Be kind to one another and tender-hearted, Ephesians 4. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5. Be subject to one another, Ephesians 5. Let each of you regard one another as more important than themselves, Philippians 2. Encourage one another day after day, Hebrews 3. Stimulate or stir each other up to love and good deeds, Hebrews 10. Be hospitable to one another, 1 Peter 4. The one another's are throughout the scriptures, and they're really practical. Let me ask you this question. As you look at these instructions, do you see them as what we should expect or what we should do? If we regard these commands, and as we read them, it builds up our expectations, but not our sense of obligation, then do you know what? We'll become disillusioned with church and disappointed with church life. Fellow Christians will let us down, so will church leaders. These one another commands are all about what we should do, not what we should expect or demand from others. It's a challenge. Now, if everybody does it, some wonderful things happen. We used to use this list. This was the list. I think we probably should build it back in. I found it really interesting that we used to do this. We used to talk about things that harmed relationships in the church. Favoritism. James 2, treating people differently on account of their wealth or education, background, family. Selfish ambition. Ephesians 2, looking out for our own interests over the interests of others. Isolating ourselves. These are ways we can undermine healthy fellowship. 1 Corinthians 12, a false inferiority can cause us to isolate ourselves from the rest of the body sometimes. Pride and superiority, 1 Corinthians 12. No grounds for pride in a church. Judging one another, Romans 14. We can imprison a person with a conviction that they cannot change or be different. Unforgiveness, Ephesians 4. We're commanding to forgive our fellow believers. Provocative speech, Galatians 5. A wrong kind of frank speaking in which we unload our ill feelings rather than seek to minister God's grace. Taking offense, 1 Peter 2. Taking offense is a sin, wow. You can tell how thoroughly you've died to yourself by accessing how easily you are at being offended. Don't get me on the tongue, because that is all over the place in the Bible. Proverbs 6, bearing fault with this, stirring up dissension. Don't speak against a brother or judge them, James 4. Secrecy traps, 1 John 7. You know, that little whisper, you know, don't tell anyone else, but have you heard? It's a secrecy trap. Don't confuse confidentiality with secrecy. And, you know, your doctor's not free to talk about your case with the next patient. But he will talk with a colleague or a consultant. He is free to discuss that. So don't put people into secrecy traps. Say what you mean and mean what you say, Matthew 5. Don't grumble against each other, James 5, 9. It's full of it, the Bible. And these are what actually loving others turns out to be in the end. These practical ways of relating to one another. That's what ends up with unity. And we need to put relationships right when they've gone wrong. Because people will fall out in churches, but we can fall out well as Christians and model something for Putin if we ever get to meet him. See, Christians can forgive and restore relationships in a godly manner, and that's what the Bible exhorts us to do. It can be a costly path, but a path to choose, and it's the right one to choose. So we need to limit how relationships can be harmed. Found this little section as well. I really enjoyed looking back on all these notes. Some simple rules we used to teach people at the beginning of the church to walk in unity and keep the unity of the Spirit in these areas, in the areas of our speech. We need to guard our ears. Don't listen. Proverbs 20:19. Don't accept anonymous information. Ask who told you it. If somebody comes with me and says, oh, I've just been talking to somebody and I'm not going to tell you who it is, I don't want to hear, to be honest. Guard your lips. Don't spread gossip. Proverbs 26. Make sure the information is given to the person who's responsible to receive it. Anyone else? It's just unnecessary talk, which what the Bible calls as meddling or busybodies. Read 1 Peter 4. It's not so keen on busybodies and meddlers. Keep in a good spirit, generous and humble attitude. Philippians 2, Galatians 6. It's all over the place when you start reading the Bible about how we as believers need to live in unity with each other. Remember the fact that when you feel hurt or offended or wounded or upset, doesn't necessarily prove that the other person has sinned in what they've said or against you. Sometimes it can be your stuff. Actually, the other person only have sinned if they've intentionally been spiteful, if you read Numbers 35. And over it all, love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? 1 Peter 4. And that this verse says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's our verse for the week. Very practical stuff, I think. The message says it like this. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. I love that. You were all called to travel on the same road, in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. That's the church I want to be part of. And in a sense, our dinner next week is all about our oneness. It's a bit like us all saying, I'm in. I'm part of Jubilee. I'm part of this spiritual family. I want this spiritual family to speak into my life. Yes, there's fun and food, and yes, there's photos and memories of the last 12 months, and yes, there's passion about different things that we're doing, you're going to hear about. But it's also a moment of prayer and seeking God and saying to God, yeah, I'm in this place. Now, for some, each year, it's a time where God is actually calling you to go somewhere else. And if that's the case, I want to talk to you and pray with you and support you, because we want to be a church that is sending people as well. We want to be a place where people are saying, is this where you want me, God? If it isn't, where do you want me? We want to be sending people the whole time. But for those of us who aren't being sent somewhere else, it's a moment to say, I'm in. I want to be part of this church, what it's doing. I want to be to experience personal renewal here, relational renewal here, missional renewal here. I want to be part of all that it takes to love God, love others, and love life in our world, and see a spiritual and cultural renewal in our town. Amen? Perhaps it seems at odds with some of the discouragement these last few years, but do you know what? Something within me wonders if a great spiritual awakening is on the horizon. The more I think about it, the more I pray about it, the more I talk to people, I just feel, despite all that's happened, I wonder. I get just the joy of talking to people in Jubilee whose faith is beginning to bubble up with particular ideas and ministries, different areas. And I am curious to see what's going to happen. Because I believe God's heart is on this town at this time. And on this church at this time. Yes, there are many idols distracting people, but there is something emerging amongst us that is very exciting. It's exciting to see unity across the churches. It's exciting to hear of a growing passion for young people coming to know Jesus. There's prayer bubbling up. You'll hear about it this afternoon. The 24/7 prayer people doing some phenomenal things at Waverley. We're going to hear a bit about it this afternoon. A prayer garden in Farnham, prayer rooms in Farnham, prayer beginning to bubble up in our town in a mighty way. It's exciting times. The Jubilee celebrations that were going to happen are going to be a wonderful opportunity for the church to be visible. I think our 20th anniversary as a church is going to be significant. And in November, we've got the biggest mission that we've seen in the town for 30 years happening, which is going to all across the churches, which is going to be a phenomenal time together. See, I'm getting excited about what's happening. And I suppose it's asking the question, asking yourself the question, am I in? And if you are, book up to the dinner. If you're in, if you want to say I'm in, book up for the dinner. I've made it dead easy. If you've got a smartphone, you just get it out now. Open the phone app. Right this minute, you can do it now. Void your text, all that sort of stuff. Put your camera up there, and it will ping up magically on your phone if you've got a smartphone. And you'll be able to book up right this minute, so you don't forget. If you haven't got a smartphone, or if your phone is particularly thick, then, then you can look on the email that we've sent. If you can't struggle with emails, just come and have a word with me as well. We'll book you in, or Rick. But book in. You see, when at the beginning, I'm just going to finish with this. We started calling our dinners recommitment dinners. That's what we got it from the Odeon Church, I think, for those of us who were up in the Odeon Church. It was a time where we could recommit to the church again. A way of saying, yeah, I'm in. I'm all in. And our commitments are actually important, aren't they? Our commitments actually shape our life much more than anything else in some ways. Our commitments can develop us or destroy us, actually. But either way, our commitments will define us. Tell me what you're committed to, and I'll tell you what your life will be in 10 years, 20 years' time. So you become what you're committed to. The idea of commitment is where most people miss God's purpose in their lives, actually. Many people are afraid to commit to anything, so they drift through life. Others make half-hearted commitments to competing values, which leads to frustration and mediocrity. Others make a full commitment to worldly goals, such as becoming wealthy or famous, and end up disappointed and bitter in the end. See, every choice has eternal consequences. We need to choose wisely, commit wisely, since everything around us is going to melt away, it says in 1 Peter 2. What is holy, godly lives should be living. So we make a decision, don't we, to follow Jesus, but we make a decision to be together on this great mission as a church. And that's why God prizes unity amongst us. So you up for seeking personal renewal, relational renewal, renewal of our mission, renewal of our town? Great, three of you are. Well, a living faith is done by being part of something, part of a community of followers of Jesus, where we love God, love others, and love life. And as we commit together, as we are for each other, as we become unified, you know what? We are modeling something to the world. That's what Jesus' heart for. And it does, in a strange way, become relevant to wars, even, I think. Can we stand? Because the most wonderful unifying thing we do in many ways is coming to this table to break bread and drink the wine. The great schism between men and women, and God, as a result of the fall, was dealt with at the cross, wasn't it? As Jesus died, he died to make a way for us, to bring unity between us and God, to restore relationship between us and God. Not because of our effort or because we're perfect, but because of his grace and goodness to us. And as a result of that, that's why we want to love others. It's why we love ourselves rightly, but it's why we then want to love others. And so it's a moment. I mean, there's challenging scriptures, aren't there, about checking our hearts before we break bread, that we haven't got bitterness or things against one another. It's always been that moment where we come together and say, yes, we're in this. We're unified with God. We're unified with each other. We want to be part of something that God is doing in our little part of the world. So the band are going to come up, and thank you, Matt, and lead us in a song. As we're singing this final song, let's come and take a little capsule as a little moment saying, God, thank you for calling me to yourself, making a way for me to be unified with you. And let's say a prayer. Lord, if this is the place for me, let me get stuck in fresh ways, and know a personal renewal, a relational renewal, a missional renewal in Jubilee. So Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that we